You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The greatest mitzvah, perhaps, that we have in our Torah is the mitzvah of Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. The purpose of a Jew is to live in this world and to cause a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, cause a sanctification of Hashem's name. This is one of the highest, most important activities that a Jew can accomplish when it comes to living a life of a Jew on the face of this earth. The Gemara Masechtas Yoma tells us that when a Jew acts in a way that causes a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, causes a sanctification of Hashem's name, you are mekayim another mitzvah, and that is the mitzvah of V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. And the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yoma that Ahavta Hashem Elokecha means not only that you have to love Hashem, but you have to make Hashem's name beloved in the eyes, the hearts, and the minds of everybody who sees how you conduct your life. By doing such, you're introducing them to Hashem, allowing them to see from your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how they can develop a relationship to Hashem as well. And ultimately speaking, if you're acting appropriately and properly, you're going to cause those people to develop an Ava for Hashem as well. HaChazal express it, Shehei Shem Shamayim Misaheva Yodecha, the name of God should become beloved because of you. And the Rambam says when you accomplish that, you're causing a Kiddush Shem Shamayim, and you are mekayim the mitzvah of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha on the highest level possible. Jew can be mekayim it when it comes to his existence in this world. That is why Chazal tell us, if we go back to the beginning of the Avos, we find that Avram Avinu is called Avram Ahuvi. He's called by Hashem Avraham, my beloved one. And the reason Avram was called by that name is explained by the Rambam, is because Avram Avinu not only was involved in his own Avat Hashem and Avodat Hashem, he, his wife, his mishpacha, later on his grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but Avram Avinu was busy trying to bring the people of the world back to the belief in the Ribbono Shalom, try to literally bring people back to their belief in God, and by doing such, was hoping and praying through his activities that he would therefore give them a glimpse of his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in turn inspire them that they should try to develop such a relationship as well. And therefore, Avram was called Avram, my beloved, because not only did Hashem see that Avram loved him, but he made the Shem Shemai Mesaveh Yodecha, he caused other people to love Hashem as well. And that is the reason Hashem picked Avraham and Sarah to become the progenitors of Klal Yisrael, because of their attitude of loving Hashem and sharing Hashem's essence with others and bringing other people close to Hashem to the point that they also wanted to love Hashem and they felt the love of Hashem on them. And this caused a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Later on, the Chumash tells us that Avram had reached such an exalted state of popularity, and he was such a sanctified individual, that they called Avraminu Nisi Elokim Atah B'Sochenu. You're like the Prince of God in our midst. They felt a sense of royalty, of connectivity between Avram and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avram was gracious enough to share that type of connectivity with the people of his generation, to bring them back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should have that level of connectivity as well. We find quite obviously Avram gave over this Mesores to Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave over this Mesores of this mission to Yaakov. Yaakov gave it over to his Shiftei Kot, to his wonderful 12 children, who ultimately became the progenitors of Klal Yisrael, of Achena B'nai Yisrael, that we are basically emanating from them today. We are basically the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but primarily we all emanated as Jews from the progeny of the Shiftei Kor of Yaakov's children, who were all looked upon as being tzaddikim. But there's one child of Yaakov that stood out very, very intensely. And the child I'm referring to in particular is the child of Yosef. Yosef, one of his youngest children, next to the youngest. His life, his trials, his tribulations, the things that happened to him during his lifetime are described very explicitly in the Parashas Hayeshev and Miketz, and then we have Vayigash, finally Vayechi, and we find an individual who the Torah spent at least four parshiyos upon, describing who he was and what he was and what he did with his life and what he tried to accomplish. And what I want to share with you today is why the Torah did it, what we learned from it, and what we can do to apply it to our life and to see many of these qualities also in the personality of Sarit Marton, whose neshama we are going to be maskir and mala today through our learning together. The first thing I want to mention is that Yosef HaTzadik was a person who could obviously, Yaakov saw, was a very special child, very similar to him, a child who was punctilious when it came to performing mitzvahs, a child who quite obviously, Chazal say, even looked like Yaakov in many ways, acted like Yaakov. Yaakov called him his Ben Zakunim, and Chazal tell us that's not just a question of a description of age, but it's the description of certain qualities which Yosef possessed that literally made him a living continuation of the legacy of Yaakov Avinu, many of the Yesedas of Torah and Yiddishkeit and Hashkafas Hashem that Yaakov had. He saw that Yosef was perhaps amongst all the brothers more merutzit to makabel them and to receive them and to understand them and put them into practice. And therefore, he gave him special instruction, special Torah sessions, trying to bring Yosef to the highest level. And we find that Yosef, at the end, went through many, many, many nisyonos in his lifetime, very similar to his forefathers, to Avraham, Yitzhak, and to Yaakov. And in actuality, when you look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that talks about the first of the Avos, Avraham Avinu, where it talks about the Asari Nisyonos Shenisnav Avraham Avinu V'Ama Bakulam, Kedei Lahodia Kamechi Basel Shal Avraham Avinu LaHakadosh Baruch Hu, there's no question that that concept of going through a Nisyon and living up to the Nisyon and succeeding and going forward and maintaining your steadfastness and your religiosity and your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite all the problems confronting you from all sides. This showed, the Mishnah says, the intensity of the chibah, the love, that Avraham Avinu had for the Rabbeinu Shalom. This applies to Yitzchak, it applies to Yaakov, it applies to all of the Shiftei Kor of Yaakov, but in particular, this really applies, as I'm going to demonstrate today to you, to Yosef and his conduct on a very special way. So listen very carefully as I portray certain things over here. The first thing that is interesting is that Yosef HaTzadik, from the point in time that he met his brothers, he was sent by his father to seek out his brethren, and to send their father's regards and to make sure the boys that are out in the fields tending the flocks and everything else, that they're safe and they're in good condition. We find the statement that he was looking for his brothers. He's looking for his wonderful brothers. He's being mavakish, his brothers. He's concerned about his brothers. He knew they were a little jealous of him, but nevertheless, he was concerned for their health and welfare. And all of a sudden, he finds himself confronted by his brothers, who were very upset with him because they thought he had an agenda against them, which I'm not going to go into now. And ultimately, we see a terrible tragedy taking place, the Torah's description of what's called the Mechiras Yosef, the selling Nebuch of Yosef to a group of Yishmaelim, who ultimately brought him down to Mitzrayim and sold him to Potiphar, the Sar HaTabachim, the chief executioner of the Egyptian Empire, perhaps one of the most powerful people in the empire and one of the most feared people in the empire besides Paro himself. And what's interesting and fascinating is that going through all of this and seeing what happened to him, not only when it comes to being sold by his brothers, first being thrown into a pit that was full of dangerous creatures, and then being sold, taken down to Egypt and sold to a very dangerous, a very powerful Egyptian person. And then the tsaras the Torah describes of being attempted to be seduced by the wife of Potiphar, who tried every trick in the book to try to seduce him, and could obviously, he was full of pain and anguish in continuously rejecting everything she tried to do. He finally ran away and escaped and saved himself. He's later on being placed in jail, his life being at stake. What's fascinating and interesting is that with all the tsaras and pain that he suffered and that he experienced, we never find once from his lips any statement, any comment of complaint to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Never once did we hear Yosef say to Hashem, "Why are you doing this to me? Why am I going under such difficultness, Yonos? I'm alone in a foreign country. My life's at stake every minute of the day." But Yosef, despite all of that, and all the bizyonos he suffered with the Mechira and everything else taking place, we never find him complaining and having tainus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Why did this happen to me? Why is this all going on?" On the contrary, what we find mentioned in the Torah is that from the moment he stepped foot in Egypt and he was sold to the Sar Tabachim, to Potiphar, we find that Yosef was full of Amunah BaHashem, full of incredible bitachon. The Torah gives Eidus, the Hashem es Yosef, the Hashem was with Yosef, the Ish Matzliach, and he succeeded in doing all the jobs and tasks that were given to him. Vayar Adonav, and the master of the house who had bought him said, "Ki Hashem ito," that God is with him. Kol asher osa Hashem atzliach biyado, all that he does, he succeeds in because God's with him. And Chazal asked a question, how did this idolater, this pagan, know that God's with Yosef? How did he perceive that type of very, very sophisticated concept? And Chazal answer that the Shem Shemayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Shogah B'Piv. That Yosef continuously mentioned God's name. Any successes that he had, he did not take the covet for himself. He attributed all his successes to the Ribbono Shel Olam. "It's my God, it's Hashem that's giving me the ability and the capabilities, the insight, the talents, the energies to succeed in all the things they're asking me to do." And slowly but surely, this pagan, Sar HaTabachim, started to learn about the God of Yosef and started to see and started to believe that there is a God of Yosef who's helping him, who's watching him, who's taking care of him. And after a while, this specific Sar HaTabachim had so much trust in Yosef and in the God of Yosef, and he learned to mention God's name because Yosef mentioned God's name continuously. It tells us, Vayimsa Yosef Chen Be'inov, that Yosef found tremendous favor in the eyes of his master. Vayivkedeyu al beisa v'chola shalo nosam biyado. The master trusted him to such a level that all that the master owned, all that he possessed, everything in his possession, he put under the control and hand of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef now became the head of the household, the person who's the supervisor, the controller. Everything in the household was under his total control, which meant to say that Yosef caused, by his behavior, such a kiddush shem shemayim, a sanctification of God's name, that this pagan person was able to see a special spiritual sanctity and honesty and integrity in the personality of Yosef HaTzadik, and he gave him therefore total control and responsibility over everything in his household. Mikatzah el katzah, everything was basically under him. And Hashem showed this Mitzri that his perception of Yosef and his God was correct. The Torah gives Eidus that God blessed the Mitzri because of Yosef. And all that was be Abayis Ubisada was subject to the success in Brachos because of Yosef's activity.
You are listening to BenStorah.com.
When it comes to Yosef HaTzadik, is the fact that even in the pagan environment of Mitzrayim, even in that pagan society, even amongst all the Bati Avodah Zarah and the Tumah that was surrounding him continuously, and ultimately Nebuch, the seduction that was attempted against him by Potiphar's wife to bring him down, that this Yosef HaTzadik, and that's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik, withstood all of this in this foreign alien culture with all its negative influences that quite obviously caused a tremendous Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of Hashem's name. He therefore, in this specific context, demonstrated the level of dedication and love that he had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He sanctified his life, sanctified everything that he did. He made Hashem's name beloved to others and made them believe that there is a God of Israel, there is a God of this universe that he prays to and he's devoted to and whose precepts he follows. He caused the Shem Hashem is Hahei V'Yodecha. He caused the Kiddush Hashem. He did it quietly. He didn't force it upon people. But what's amazing, and I still say it's amazing, is that with all the Nisyonos that he confronted, and he confronted a lot of Nisyonos, tremendous Nisyonos, never once did we hear that Yosef is recorded in the Chumash of complaining to Hashem, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Never once did Yosef question HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have any tainas on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was mekabel his yisurim ba'ava. He was mekabel the yisurim he was suffering with love and dedication. And he therefore passed the test, the nisyonos, that he was encountering to show the level of chibah that Yosef HaTzadik had for the Ribbono Shalom, very similarly to the way Avram did it, and Yitzchak did it, and Yaakov did it in their situations. We find Yosef doing it over here. And this is, therefore, one of the prominent Musa Shmuzim that we find when we start reading about the life of Yosef HaTzadik. We find that he was a humble man, never took credit for what he did. Anytime they wanted to give him credit for anything he did, even later on when it came to the dreams, which he interpreted correctly, Yosef answered, "It's not me who was giving this information. It's God who is telling me exactly what's going on. I'm giving you over God's description and explanation of the events that are taking place and why they're taking place." And if that's the case, Yosef himself demonstrated and personified what a Jew is able to be, what a Jew is able to accomplish, even in the most difficult circumstances, to be able to continue living a life of Kiddush Shem Shamayim every day of your life, from the beginning of the morning to the time you go to sleep at night, to live a life of total dedication and subjugation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We find when we get to Parshas Miketz that this Yosef, even when he was had been put into jail, and could obviously jail is not the most exciting place to be, we don't find him complaining that he was put into jail. We find ultimately when he's taken out of jail and brought to Paro on Parshas Miketz, and Paro tells him, "I had some bad dreams, I need you to interpret them, and I heard you're a great dream interpreter." We find that ultimately speaking, Yosef himself comes and tells him the following. When Paro says that Ani shamati alecha leimar tishma chalom leftor, so that you're able to interpret dreams correctly, what did Yosef say? Vayan Yosef el Paro leimar biladoi elokim yane shalom Paro. I'm merely God's servant. I'll give you over what God tells me to tell you is the messages that you're getting in your dreams. He doesn't want to take any credit for himself, and he maintains his humility, his integrity, and his honesty. After interpreting all the dreams, and Paro hears what he says and understands exactly what these dreams are really significantly meaning, what do we find that Paro does? Paro, when he sees this Yosef, Vayita Vadova Beinai Paro, that Paro liked how Yosef explained the difficult dreams, Vayoma Paro Alavadov Hanimsa Kizeh Ish Asher Ruach Elokim Bo. This is a person that the Spirit of God resides in his person, that he's able to see that in the personality of this Yosef, there is a Spirit of God in him. Once again, he caused the Kiddush Shem Shamayim in front of Paro, who at that time, historically, was the most powerful man on the face of this earth. Egypt surely was the most influential, technological, financial capital of the world. And they were able to see in this Yosef tremendous, tremendous personality traits, which they admired, they respected, and they lauded. What is fascinating, what the Chumash describes afterwards, is simply incomprehensible. Paro says to him, "I want you to know something, that after I've met you, I've come to the conclusion, you're such a wise man, there's nobody in my entire empire that comes to your level of knowledge and understanding and comprehension. And all of a sudden, what happens to Yosef is something that he never expected. Paro appoints him and says to him that I'm going to make you the head of my house, obviously, puts it upon Yosef to show he's giving him special royal powers when it comes to rulership over the Egyptian society. He says to Nasati Osal or Eretz Mitzrayim, and when it comes to me and you, Raka Kisa Eglon Emecha, I am still the king, but you are the person right under me when it comes to being the power mover of our entire Egyptian empire. Something Yosef never ever dreamt would ever happen to him based upon the way he came to Egypt initially. He dressed Yosef with special fine clothing, Bigdei Sheish. He put a special type of Revid Azov, a special type of golden necklace on his neck, showing a certain authority. For Yaakevus of Merkeves, he gave him a special Merkeves, a chariot that he rides in. He said people should call him an Avrech. For Nosan al Kolaris Tzraim, Avrech means Av Bechachma Varach Beshanim. As young as you are brilliant and a genius in your understanding and comprehension. And therefore, he said that nobody will have any power over you in Egypt except for me. They called Yosef Tzafnas Paneach, the one who's able to interpret all the hidden messages of the world. They married him off. Later on, it became evident who he married off to, a mishpacha member of Yaakov's mishpacha that was lost in Egypt. So he ended up marrying a nice potential member of his mishpacha. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem blessed him. He was zochet to have children in Mitzrayim. He was zochet to have an Ephraim and a Menashe. And he was an incredible, successful leader. He was able to help them during their fast, during their famine. He was able to supply food to the world at large. He had a whole system, an economic system of a way of preserving the food and helping the people of the world have total access to the supplies of Egypt, which they put away based upon his advice to keep society alive during the terrible famine period by saving all the food, the extra food during the fertile period that preceded it. Everything Yosef predicted came true. And we find Yosef, therefore, and as far as Chazal tell us, Yosef survived not only in his physical being, he survived in his spiritual being as well. Nothing changed in Yosef when it came to his spiritual dedication and love and concern and Avedas Hashem. What's amazing is that he brought up his children in such an environment, Ephraim and Menashe, and they likewise became from religious individuals like he was. Later on, he points this out to Yaakov, that Ephraim and Menashe are as religious, as from, as dedicated to Hashem as your children, who did not suffer the nisyon of living in Egypt in the most decadent place on the face of this earth when it came to lack of morals and promiscuity. He was not tainted. His children weren't tainted, Baruch Hashem. And they may maintain their religiosity. The Ramban points out, Yosef made special tikkunim when it came to his children, that they should be careful to be Shomer Shabbos in Egypt, even though they were not Chayiv Nechi of Shabbos yet. They weren't full-fledged Jews, but they were meticulous to keep Shabbos and other mitzvahs down there to remind them who they are and what they are, where they come from, and who is the God that they worship, the God who created the universe in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The concept of God being the ultimate master controller of the history and the events that take place in the world at large. He inculcated in his children an Ava, for Torah and for mitzvahs, a love for Eretz Israel as well. And that's why we'll find later on that one of the last requests of Yaakov to his children to accentuate his love for Eretz Israel is his final bakasha to his children, that when he passes away, take his body out of Egypt, bring him back to Eretz Canaan, bury him in Eretz Israel, in Kever Avos, which his children listened to. All of this, Yaakov said to Yosef to tell to the children, and Yosef, in fact, carried this out, as the Torah describes later on, in Parshas Vayechi, at length, when it comes to that specific dialogue. From all of this, we learn what type of level of spirituality a Jew can accomplish, even under the most difficult circumstances you are confronted with. It would seem that what he was exposed to would be called, in our modern terminology, a mission impossible. But the fact of the matter is, when you are a Baal Betochan, and you have your total trust thrown upon the shoulders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Boteach B'Hashem, Chesis Haveinu, when a person has Bitochan HaShem, HaShem surrounds them with all types of chasodim, watches them, takes care of them. Chazal and the Bali Musa point out, the closer a person draws themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closer HaShem with Hashgacha Pratis draws himself back to that person. The Rambam and Maravuchan and other places makes a very, very strong emphasis of this. Your Hashgacha Pratis, your divine providence that Hashem has over you, depends upon the level of your Hakaras Elokis, your knowledge of God, your Deus Elokis, your love of God, and how close you bring yourself to Hashem to put everything in His hands. Hashem reciprocates and makes sure that you're under His total, perfect supervision, watching you from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, that you're able to maintain your Torah v'mitzvahs and your Shmirsi. From all of this, the incredible saintly life that this tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik, was able to accomplish, living in the Egyptian Empire. He lived as a Jew. He survived as a Jew. At the end, he had the nachas of being able to see children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. The Torah portrays the nachas he had of being able to help raise his second and third and fourth generation of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren on his lap. He gave over the Mesoris of his Hashkafis Achayim to his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to the end of time. And therefore, the life and history of Yosef HaTzaddik is ingrained in our hearts and our minds. From the time we start reading Parshas Vayeshev to the end of Parshas Vayechi, who he is and what he is and what he accomplished explains to us that of all the spiritual individuals in the Torah, he is one of the few that's called with the appellation Tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik. Because his tzidkus, his righteousness, his spirituality was incomparable to others, and because what he was able to do during his lifetime was a perfect performance of Avodas Hashem that led to a daily Kiddush Shem Shamayim, and everybody who saw him and witnessed him and experienced him saw this love and compassion that he had for human beings, and quite obviously the way he conducted himself. Even when it came to dealing with his brothers, and quite obviously he had reasons to be unhappy with them. After all, he did remember how they sold him into servitude, and how they threw him into a pit, and their lack of concern for him. Other human beings would have felt that if they're coming under your Dalet Amos and you're the most powerful man in the world, and you could punish them, There are people out there, unfortunately, who would have taken advantage of that opportunity. But Yosef did not in any way hurt his brothers. If he put them through Nisyonos, as the Chumash describes, the Babinel, another Mefarshim, the Ramban, others point out, he wasn't doing it to punish his brothers. He wanted them to realize the mistake that they made in selling their brother initially. He wanted to see that they had charata. He wanted to see that they were doing tshuva, that they realized the mistakes, and they realized if anything as difficult is happening to them now, and they're being accused of all different things, it's a payback and punishment for the inappropriate behavior they demonstrated towards their incredible brother, to Yosef. He was therefore being goreim the tshuva of the Eser Shvatim with his interactions with them. And ultimately speaking, when Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, they grasped each other, they kissed each other. He showed them the love and compassion he still had for them despite what they did to him. And lovingly, he brought them all down to Egypt. He brought his father down to Egypt. He told his father a Devar Torah that was sent to the father through the brothers, the Agolos, to show that he still remembered the learning, the Lamdis, the Torah. He had learned with his father before he left him that this was not just Yosef, his son, biological son. This was Yosef, his spiritual son, his spiritual heir. He was the Yosef that Yaakov hoped he would become. Yosef was able to take a depressed Yaakov and turn him into an incredibly happy Yisrael. The Shechina returned to Yaakov Avinu, and the Nachas that Yaakov was able to see from Yosef and his children, and from the rest of the children, to the end of his life is depicted and described explicitly in the verses of the Chumash. This is a Kitzah Nimratz of who Yosef HaTzadik was and what he accomplished in his lifetime.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.